So I've just got a short little thing that I would like to share with you this morning. And it comes from 1 Kings. So I'm going to start at the beginning of chapter 19, just to give a little bit of context. But the bit that I'm going to focus on is a little bit further on. So for those of you that that can't pluck where 1 Kings 19 comes out of your brains, for context, Elijah has killed the prophets of Baal, and he's fleeing for his life from Jezebel because she's trying to kill him because she can't control him in the way that she could control the other false prophets. And she's very angry that that he's killed the prophets of Baal and is after him, and he's fleeing for his life. So that's where we start. So I'm going to read just the first little bit. I'm going to take a few points, and then there's a particular thing that I'd like us to focus on a little bit more. And I do need to give credit to my husband, who was the one who initially said, oh, I think God's saying something about this. And I went away and found the scripture and then stole his idea. So thank you, Chris. So Elijah flees to Sinai. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel what Elijah had done and that he had slaughtered the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: may the gods also kill me if by this time tomorrow I have failed to take your life like those whom you killed. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went alone into the desert. Traveling all day, he sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. So he's in a pretty low place. He has been through a fair bit at this point, and he's had enough. And he's gone away on his own under a tree, and he's saying to God, I've had enough of this. This is too much. Please take my life. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in that position. I've never been so low that I've felt that. But thank goodness he went and sought out God and brought that to him and said, this is where I'm at. This is how low I am. Please take my life. What did God do? He could have taken his life. He could have done what he asked. But he didn't. It says next, he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around and saw some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more, for there is a long journey ahead of you. So what God did was he said, he looked at where he was at and he met him and he said, I will give you what you need to sustain you. I'm not going to take your life. I know you're in a horrible place. I know you've had enough right now, but I'm going to give you food and water. I'm going to send an angel to tell you what to do. I'm going to give you everything you need. And he said to him, there is a long journey ahead of you. You don't just need to take from me once. You need to take from me a second time. I'm not just giving you a little bit. I'm giving you everything you need to sustain you. At this point, he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. And there he came to a cave where he spent the night. So God was leading him to a deeper relationship with him and giving him everything he needed to sustain him for the journey to get there. By going to Mount Sinai, he was returning to the place of God, the place where Moses had been given the commandments, to the holy place, to the place where he could meet God in person. But it was a 40-day and 40-night travel, and he was already knackered. He'd had it. But God met him where he was at, gave him not only a bit, but everything he needed to sustain him to that place where he could meet with him in greater intimacy. So when he got there, the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Seems a bit of a bizarre question because, you know, at this point, I'm pretty sure that God knew what he was doing there. But that's the great thing about God. He wants to partner with us. He wants to hear from us. What do we need? What do we need from him? For us, for other people, for the situation that we're in. He wants to hear what we have to say. Why are you here? Well, I'm here because you told me to come here. You gave me the food I needed to get here, so that's why I'm here. But why are you here, Elijah? Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I alone am left, and now they are trying to kill me. Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord said to him. So Elijah told him what God already knew, that he'd had it. He was done. And God said to him, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain." So he's brought him to this place. He's given him everything he needed to sustain him for the journey. And now he's saying, "Stand out on this holy mountain where my word comes from heaven." And what happens? Do you think Elijah is expecting something quite big at this point? I think I probably would be. You know, it's a big journey. It's a big mountain. Amazing things happen at this point. So Elijah goes out and stands there. As Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went and stood at the entrance of the cave. So God was not in the huge, powerful things. That's not to say that God doesn't sometimes appear in those things, but on this occasion, he didn't. But he was in the quiet whisper. And Elijah recognized God's voice in the quiet whisper, even though that might not have been what he was expecting at that moment on this massively significant place. And that was what I wanted to pause and think about for a moment. Because what if Elijah had not recognized the quiet whisper? What if he had only expected to see him in the big stuff? And when he wasn't there, he just went back in the cave. "Oh, well, God, maybe you didn't bring me here. Maybe this was all me making it up. Maybe you don't care, really. Because I thought you were going to do something huge and powerful, and you're not even here." No, God, we know Elijah recognized God in that small voice because he wrapped his cloak around his head. He knew that the power of God was in that small voice. That's some versions call it the still small voice of God, that quiet whisper. But what happens next? What does the voice actually say to him? A voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied again, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars and killed every one of your prophets. I alone am left, and now they are trying to kill me too. God asks him exactly the same question, and he gives exactly the same answer. But he's in a different place. Because of what he's been through, because of the sustaining power of God to bring him to this place, because of his experience on the mountain of all these incredible things, but actually finding God in the quiet place. And the question is repeated, the answer is repeated, but then comes what God says. The Lord told him, go back the way you came, travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram, then anoint Jehu, etc., etc., then anoint Elisha. And he gives him a plan to no longer be alone. He tells him, this is how we move on from here. This is what happens next. When you feel alone, when he felt alone and when he connected with God and followed everything that God said to do, allowed him to sustain him and discovered him in the quiet place, God gave him his plan to no longer be alone. In Elijah's day, God was external. In our day, God lives within us. So we need to recognize that small voice, that small whisper that may come from within. In this season of prayer, when we've been talking about praying for our church, praying for our community, praying for each other, prayer is two-way. As we pray, we are listening to God's voice speaking to us. Yes, we believe in power. We believe in mighty things, in miracles, in earthquakes and fire and wind that breaks down mountains. That is God, but so is that still small voice. And the plan that God gave Elijah was huge. It was for the next stage, but the mode in which he gave it was small. And that's something that I've really taken from that, this, as I read this, that actually God living within us, that still small voice, he's not whispering in my ear about where the parking space is, he might be, and saving his big plans and announcements for the massive flashing lights, you can't miss it stuff. The big plans can also come in the still small voice. That moment of understanding deep within your soul that you know is God. That whisper in your ear. And Elijah had to change his position a couple of times. He had to go from where he was. He had to go to the mountain. He had to go out of the cave. He had to do these things before he heard what it was that God was saying to him. But he didn't have to work out what to do in each step on his own. In each case, he was led by God, and God provided what he needed for that states, for that step of the journey. And when he repeated his plea and did what God had said, that was the point when he heard what God was saying to him about the future. We need to learn to be guided by God in the way that we approach him, in the way that we position ourselves, to listen to his leading, to take the provision that he has for us, to help to get us in that position. Maybe we need to listen differently to hear his plan. But the great news is that we are not on our own in that. We don't have to work it out for ourselves. just like Elijah, God has us. God is beside us. He will show us every step of the plan. So I'm going to pray for us. Father, I thank you that you can speak to us in so many incredible ways. Thank you that you can speak through the roaring sea and the powerful wind and the consuming fire and all those incredible things that we see, but you also live deep within us. You speak in the whisper. You speak to us deep in the quiet place of our soul. And thank you that you have everything we need for a journey into greater intimacy with you. And Father, I pray for every person here that you will guide our footsteps into that place of greater intimacy where we can hear your still small voice that reveals incredible things. Amen.